On Hope 103.2, it is an absolute pleasure to be joined by Michael O'Neill from Palmetto Medical Initiative, or PMI, the Director of International Projects. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be on the air with you guys, and I appreciate you reaching out.
So tell us how PMI initially got off the ground. What was the vision?
So PMI was started by two really good friends of mine. One was a physician, emergency room physician, a guy by the name of Dr. Ed O'Brien. And Ed had been on hundreds of short-term mission trips. And while those were incredibly life-changing experiences for him and hopefully for the patients that he was seeing, he really saw the need to do something more, to do something a bit more sustainable, and to do something that kind of went beyond relief. And the other guy that was one of the co-founders, another good friend, a guy named Matt Alexander, Matt's background was in nonprofit program development and in fundraising and things like that. And so they got together and just started to talk about what would happen if we could bring a community of people together to invest in something that in healthcare that was sustainable and could really meet the needs of people on the ground. And so they started that conversation in 2009 and brought me into the conversation. My background is in international development, and I've had the privilege to live and work abroad in a couple of different contexts. And so I got brought into the conversation fairly early. And as we started to build out that model, it became apparent that somebody needed to move over to Uganda and see if it would fit, if it would work or not. And so that's what we did.
And Uganda is one of the key areas that you guys do operate out of. Where else are you also based, just to give us a scope of what you do?
Sure. Currently we are in Uganda. We have one facility, a level 4 regional medical facility in Uganda, and another facility that's currently under construction. And then we have two facilities functioning in Nicaragua in Central America, and a third facility under construction there as well.
That's incredible. And I imagine in Uganda, the sort of medical model that your friends, that the founding team would have walked into, would have been very different from what you guys are doing there. What did they see when they first went into Uganda?
Really, in the developing world, people have two options when it comes to healthcare. They can utilize a public system, which in general is underfunded, overcrowded, and really unable to meet the demands of the community. And though in theory, that service that's offered in that socialized system is free, in all actuality, the only thing that's free is the consultation. Anything other than the conversation is going to cost the patient. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's a private care system that has been set up, and you can certainly find quality services there. But the problem with that is probably only about 10% of the population can actually afford it. And so when we started thinking about how can we make a long-term sustainable impact in some of these communities, the question for us is, what is the solution? So what's the solution for all of those families, all of those people that are caught in this gap between, let's say, an under-functioning public system and then an unaffordable private system? And we felt like there was a big gap there, and that we could create a model that would help to fill that gap.
Yeah, and the sustainable aspect of what you do is really key to the, I guess, revolutionary power of PMI. What is your picture of sustainability? How does that look for you guys?
So what we believe and what we have seen to work and what has proven in our model is that we can create a model that provides affordable and quality health care to some of the impoverished communities that we serve, and that is not reliant on ongoing support to kind of keep those doors open. And so we've seen incredible results for that, speaking around the model in our facilities in Masindi, which is in Uganda. So we charge to back up a little bit. Laura, I apologize, got ahead of myself here. But to back up, we charge a really nominal fee for folks to come in and receive treatment. And then the revenue that's generated from those services that we give to people in the community, it just goes right back into paying our staff, paying for the electricity and water and all those kinds of things. And so the idea is hundreds and thousands of people are able to receive health care, and they're contributing to this revenue generation that supports the operating cost of the clinic. So it doesn't require ongoing philanthropic support to keep the facilities up and running.
That's incredible. Is that a unique thing to see in Uganda and also in Nicaragua, that kind of independent ability for a practitioner or like a medical practice to operate in that way?
I think it is. You know, there's certainly private. There's certainly private facilities that are operating for profit, and they're driven by the bottom line. And there's plenty of examples of those working and functioning in both of the contexts that we're talking about now in Uganda and Nicaragua. But it is different to see, and very unique and innovative to see, a model like ours that is really driven by social justice, is driven by trying to provide quality health care to these folks that are so in need of it, and do that in a way where it can support itself.
So run us through a typical day at the hospital. How many people are you seeing? What kind of services are you offering?
We are offering all kinds of services. We are a regional referral hospital in the region of Masindi. And so the facility started as our first phase was just an outpatient facility where we were just seeing outpatient needs. So folks were coming in with chronic illnesses such as high blood pressure, hypertension, diabetes, anything like that. And then obviously diseases that are more prevalent in the tropical world and in the developing world, malaria, GI infections, things like that. And so it started with that. And what we found, Laura, was that the health infrastructure that was in place really wasn't sufficient to support the needs of our own patients. And so we started slowly developing and building out more infrastructure for ourselves. So after about 18 months of operation, we opened a inpatient ward because we were having to, you know, I can tell you countless stories of folks that would come in. We would treat them all day long from like 6 a.m. to 7 or 8 p.m. And then, unfortunately, because we didn't have a place for them to stay, we would have to send them home. And then they would come back at 6 a.m. in the morning again. So we built the inpatient ward, opened that about 18 months after we initially opened the outpatient phase of the project. And then even still, we were having to refer out patients for surgeries and for labor and delivery. And we just felt like we really needed to provide a space within the same model that we were talking about on our medical campus to support that. And so 6 months after that, 24 months into the project, we opened a surgical suite and labor and delivery ward.
It's just picturing that, especially seeing it happen to such a large scale in such a relatively remote kind of region, is phenomenal. How do you think that you have really been able to see that happen? Because there's a lot of people listening that will have a heart for social justice that will want to see this kind of thing take place. What's been the key area of success for you guys?
Yeah, there's so many things. But, you know, I think first and foremost, it's part of something that the Lord was doing in this community, and we're just walking alongside what he's doing. And we recognize that and are thankful for that every day. For whatever reason, at this time in our life, we were called to do something that he was already working on and has allowed us to be part of it. And so that's first and foremost. And then secondly, I would say that we have just found that the community and the people that we work with, our local staff, so our facilities are staffed completely by locals, by Ugandan nationals and Nicaraguan nationals. And these are just brilliant people that because of their circumstances really haven't had a platform to speak out their ideas. They haven't had a place to be a real stakeholder in the process and provide innovative solutions to problems that they've seen their whole life. And so we really wanted to approach it from that angle. You know, at the end of the day, the facility and the clinic that we're building, the sustainable model, all of that is there to support the local community. And so we wanted those guys to really have a stake in what it looked like. What does this process look like? And what kind of services did we need to offer? And where did the facility need to be? And how do we change the culture of healthcare so that people are excited to come and get treated and be healed? And so that they really trust the healthcare that they're receiving, because it was a big obstacle we had to overcome early on as well. And so just attributing so much of our success to our local staff and their incredible leadership and their willingness to walk alongside us throughout this process.
And it's just such a precious thing, I think, to be able to empower local people, not only, you know, to be bringing medical services, as you say, but also have it completely enabled and empowered by locals. It's just fantastic. Do you find that the government have become really supportive of your mission because of that?
You know, they have. And there's plenty of things we could say about how bureaucratic the processes are and how hard it is to do business in some of these contexts, but speaking specifically to Uganda and the region that we serve, we've developed a great relationship with the district health officer and with the Ministry of Health overall. And it's just been great. You know, those guys are doing the best they can with the resources that they have. And the reality is that their system is just overburdened, and their staff are burned out, and they don't have access to medications and equipment like they need to. No fault of their own, it's just kind of a victim of their current circumstances. And so what we've been able to do is not only come in and help relieve some of that burden, and so theoretically, as we relieve some of the burden from them, from the local government system, then their resources now go longer. They're able to provide more quality care. They're able to treat folks for longer. They have access to more formulary and more drugs for a longer period of time because they're not seeing quite the patient volume that they have in the past, which is great. Not only are we able to do that, we're also able to bring the medical practitioners, the administrative practitioners that are working in those facilities into some of our training programs. And so there's a ton of just knowledge sharing going on and just teaching back and forth that's really mutually beneficial.
And so what are you thinking toward now in terms of growth and building into what's already there and scaling up?
Yeah, that's a great question and something that we are incredibly excited about. So we have seen just incredible success in Uganda. We've treated about 130,000 patients since 2010 there now, excuse me. And we have recognized the salience of continuing to offer our services out even in the more rural settings that our facility doesn't reach right now. So right now, one of the big roadblocks or one of the hurdles that our patients have to overcome is transportation costs and getting into our clinic or into our hospital. And so as we thought about growth, we would have obviously love to have a hospital in all of these places, but that's just not economically feasible. And so what we've come up with is kind of this hub and spoke model. And so we're, as I mentioned earlier, we are in the process of constructing our second facility in Uganda right now. And that's actually it's like a level 2 or level 3 healthcare facility in the country there. And so we'll do outpatient services, but it'll be really heavy on labs and diagnostic testing, ultrasounds, things of this nature that just aren't available in these super rural communities. And then what will happen is if those folks need more complicated care or if they need more long-term care, then we are able to refer them into the facility in Masindi where they can get inpatient care or surgery or whatever it might be. And so our goal is to build out 5 of these smaller supporting clinics to support our main medical campus there in Masindi. And that will really allow us to have a footprint that serves about 1 million people in that region that currently just don't have access to the quality of health care that not only they need, but that they deserve. So we are thrilled about the possibilities for growth there and what it looks like for us to continue to scale in that region.
And is that something that you're inviting international support to fund and to get behind and to really partner with?
Absolutely. We can't do what we do without the overwhelming generosity of so many people around the world. And so the way our model works from a funding mechanism, Laura, is that we solicit donations, we solicit funding partners to invest in the capital of a new project. And so we find money to actually build out a facility, equip it with the appropriate medical equipment that it needs, and then to hire and train staff, and then provide some kind of economic subsidy for 18 months. So our goal with all of our clinic is within 18 months, it reaches operational sustainability. In other words, after a year and a half, it is generating enough revenue from the services that are being provided to cover the ongoing operational costs. And so, yeah, we are absolutely constantly telling our story and just letting folks know how excited we are about the results that we're seeing there, how amazing our staff is on the ground, and how inviting the communities are that we are serving.
Excellent. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. For people listening right now who would love to find out more, would perhaps love to be one of those partners, how can they do that?
Yeah, so just go to our website. It's palmettomedical.org, and there's a couple of ways to get involved. Certainly from a financial standpoint, you can make donations right on the website there. And the second way is we actually run short-term medical trips that support our long-term efforts on the ground there. We do those 4 times a year, and we'd love to have medical and non-medical people a part of that process as well. And so if they would like to be a part of that, there's an application online to apply to join one of those trips as well.
Excellent. Michael, thank you so much and all the best with everything you do. Truly, it is fantastic. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for the opportunity and for y'all's support. We really appreciate it.